Okay, Rabbi, so today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Aleph. And we're holding roughly 10 lines from the top of the Amid. As you recall, the Gemara was discussing yesterday about the fact that you have the Kaved, that's the liver. Our custom today, of course, is not to eat liver unless it's Gebrutin. Gebrutin means that it's roasted. There's discussion, however, in the Gemara yesterday, what happens is instead of roasting the liver, you cook the liver in a Kedera, in a pot. And the Gemara said that there are two considerations. Number one, what about the Kaved itself? And number two, what about the Kaved going and, in a sense, contaminating others? What is the Shaila? Since the Kaved is full of blood, as long as it's inside the Kaved and you're eating it, for instance, raw, it's no problem. However, once that blood comes out of the Kaved, that's real blood. It's Dam Eivarim, which is an Isser. You're not allowed to eat from that Dam Eivarim. Okay, so now inside, if you're roasting the liver in a roaster, in a rotisserie of sorts, what happens is that all the blood that comes out falls to the ground, and you just don't eat it. So then that's not a problem. But if you're using a Kedera, then unfortunately the blood stays inside the Kedera. So the Gemara said yesterday that the simple pshat on Kuf Yud Amid Beis, the last three lines, a Mishnah Masechtas Trumas, that a Kaved Oiseres Ve'Einan Neseres, what does that mean? That if you are cooking a Kaved together with another piece of meat in the same pot, the Kaved itself does not become Oser from the blood that is emitted from the Kaved, but the other piece of meat will become Oser. And the Mishnah explains why. Because the Kaved is so busy being polate. Polate means emitting the blood from it. It is too torrid that it doesn't allow to be boileah to go and absorb any of that blood. So the blood that is emitted by the Kaved has nowhere to go except into either, of course, the water in the pot, but also into the other piece of basar in the pot. Oyoyoy. So therefore, that blood goes into the other basar and it asers it. That's why it says oiseres. However, it itself, the kaved, is not boileah back that blood, because it's poletas, the eina boilas. That's how we learned the Mishnah poshit. And then the Gemara brought a story. And the Gemara said there's another way of preventing the blood of a kaved from asering not only itself, but asering other food items that are cooked in the same pot. How is that? If you do a chaluta. What means chaluta? Chaluta means that you soak it in something that causes the kaved to be tzomis. Tzomis means to kind of shrink and shrivel. In a sense, it freezes the blood inside that kaved, and it doesn't go out after that. How do you do chaluta? So if you look, again, 10 lines from the top of the Yomit Ki Hodr Rav Huna, Chalti Le Bechala, he used to go and soak the kaved in vinegar, and after a while the vinegar kept the kaved and made it almost like a freeze into itself, so that the blood would not be emitted. And Rav Nachman Chalti Le Beroschen, he instead put it in hot water, and that hot water had the same effect. It kept the blood inside and it's not moitzi es hadam. That's where we left off yesterday. And now the Gemara is telling us, okay, I agree with you that this is the way you do chaluta, and therefore the kaved is now fine because all the blood stays in, it doesn't go out. Great. But v'savara papa kamei d'rava l'meimar chala osir. What about now the vinegar in which you soaked that kaved? Presumably some of the blood in the kaved was emitted into the vinegar. It's true, eventually the vinegar put a stop sign on the kaved and it doesn't allow any more blood to be emitted. Great. But the chala itself, that vinegar, l'chayr, becomes osir because of the blood that flowed from it. That's what Rav Papa said. Says Rava back Amalei, Ichala Oser, Iunami Oser. If you're going to go and tell me that the chala, meaning the chomet, the vinegar becomes Oser because of the blood emissions from the kaved, then you haven't accomplished anything. Because Iunami Oser, then the kaved itself will also become Oser. Why? Because Kiheche de Palit, Hoder Bola. After it finishes being polate, that drop of blood into the challah, then it stops, because that's the whole purpose of the chaluta, that it should stop, and Hoder Bola, now it'll be Boleya. We said yesterday that when the kovet is oiseres ve'enin oiseres when they should poletas ve'enin bolas, that's because the kovet continues in the cooking process. It emits blood until the very final moment of your cooking. But over here, the whole purpose of the chaluta is to freeze the blood inside so that it should not continue to emit blood. So this challah is doing a great job. After a half an hour, whatever the time period is, now the kovet is no longer emitting any blood. But now, since it's not emitting, so now it's free to be boileah. So, not only is it going to aser the challah according to your view, Rav Papa, then it should aser the kovet itself. Therefore, what you're saying, Rav Papa, is incorrect. The challah does not become aser, and the kovet does not become aser as a result of the chaluta. Now the Gemara tells us a story. Rav Bar Shva, Ikla Lebei Rav Nachman. Rav Bar Shva, remember this name, Rav Bar Shva was a Talmud of Rav Nachman, and he was invited for a meal in Rav Nachman's house. And guess what happened? Aisul Eikav Deshlika. They brought to him a Kav Deshlika, a kovet, which was very, very well cooked. Shlika means not just regular cooking, but intensive cooking. A lot of cooking. V'layochal. And he did not eat from that kovet. Rav Nachman had said before that Chaltilei Beroschem, if you go and cook it in very, very hot water, all of the blood will remain inside, it won't come outside, and you're allowed to eat it. And here his Talmud, Rav Bar Shva, is invited to Rav Nachman, and he refuses to eat. So Amrulei, so some people told, if you will, Lashon Toiv or Lashon Hara, whichever way you want to look at it, about Rav Bar Shva to Rav Nachman, and they said, Bar Be Rav, one of the Talmidim, Dilagav, inside the dining room, Le'achol, and he's not eating. So said Rav Nachman, no, which one is that? Umana, they told him, that's Rav Bar Shva. Amalahu Rav Nachman, Gamo Lishva. Gamo means go and stuff him. Rashi uses the expression, Hagmi'eyu v'haliteyu. You have that by Halotah, that you go and stuff the animals. So here, Lahavdil, go and stuff Rav Bar Shva al Korchoy, that he should go and eat from this covering. I don't know if he meant it literally, but he just meant, you know, there's no reason why you shouldn't eat. Don't be a super frimmy in my house. I'm the Rebbe of Rav Bar Shva, and therefore he should eat after all. Rashi says that his name was Rav Bar Shva, but nevertheless he refers to him al shem Aviv Korai. In other words, to kind of offend him and say, you are being overly frum for no reason. There's no reason why you couldn't go and eat from it. So when I was learning this Shtikl Gemara with my Chavrusa yesterday, Rab Chia Aryeh from the Koil, Chia Aryeh happens to be a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham, so he told me that it's interesting. We find Rav Bar Shva two more times in Mesechtes Brochais. One on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara there is talking about, first about Kriyashma, and then about Hallel. Are you allowed to be mafsik in between when an Odom Choshev comes in to go and greet him? And it says over there that if you're saying Hallel, where the Yochid Einoi Goymer Es Hallel, meaning like on Rosh Chodesh where we don't say the entire Hallel, or the rest of Pesach after the first days, so on Yomim She'ena Yochid Goymer Behenes Hallel, Afilib Emtza the Perek, the Emtza HaPerek Poisek, when you're saying that Hallel and a Psachoshev Yid comes in, you're allowed to go and give him Shalom, notwithstanding the fact that you're in the middle of Hallel, out the Chashivis of that individual. And then the Gemara says, Eini, V'harav Bar Shva, our Rav Bar Shva, Ikl Legabi de Ravina, he came in front of Ravina, and it was Yom She'eni Yachad Goyim Resa Hallel. Ravina saw Rav Bar Shva, V'loi Pasikle, and he didn't say hello to him. So the Gemara, Shani Rav Bar Shva, the loy choshev alei de Ravina. Rav Bar Shva was not so choshev by Ravina. So therefore these two Gemaras, if you will, are consistent. Both Ravina wasn't machshev Rav Bar Shva, and from our Gemara we see that Rav Nachman was not machshev him. However, then he pointed to another Gemara on Daf Yud Tes Amid Beis, also Mesechtes Brachos, where there the Gemara says that Rav Bar Shva was telling us a memra from people were saying that if you have a din derabanan, it's not that choshev. Says Rabbi Shvon, no, it says in the pasuk loy sasur, and loy sasur is diaraisehi. And then it says achiku alei. Some of the other talmidim were kind of mocking and smiling when Rabbi Shvon was talking. Amar of Kahana, gavra Rabbi Amar milza loy tachiku alei. Anytime you hear a gavra Rabbi agroi semench, say something. Don't start smirking. Don't start smiling. So therefore, we see from that Gemara Fakert that Rav Kahana held Rav Bar Shvo in great esteem. So Macham Nish, don't go and make Ashem Blota, go and laugh and smile at him because he's a Gavra Rabba. So,
excuse me, but Rav was from the last generation of Avraham. Nachum was a teacher of Rabba. He's much, much earlier. Is it the same Rav Bar Shvo?
Do you know any other Rav Bar Shvo brought in Shas?
Ravina, because it's quite a distance in years between the generation of Rav Nachman and Rava, and Rav Hun and Rav Chizda, and Ravina, who's from the final, he sealed the Talmud. No question about it. So how late in the generations was Rav Nachman? He was a teacher of Rava.
Okay.
He was a teacher of Papa, who was a teacher of Rav Ashi and Ravina.
Okay.
So, you're talking about three generations. Ravinas.
So,
Ravina Risha, Ravina Shani.
Thank you, David.
I can't cite it, but I know that.
Good.
Thank you, David.
Also, you have sometimes different Rav Nachmans. You have Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Rav Nachman by Yankov. So perhaps this is. I understand. So maybe this Gemara is different. Anyway, Akasha for Masa, but these are the Rav Bar Shvas. You have Rav Bar Shvas here on Daf Yedalit and Daf Yetes in Brachas. Zokti Morietz. This inyan of the cooking of the kovet as opposed to the roasting of the kovet is a big, big hot issue.
And
everything okay, Brother Barry?
No. Bill? Bill has a chart from the book, the handbook about the generations.
And
it shows like quite a few years between, even the two Ravinas, David, are both in the late Amoraim. They're showing that chart in the late Amoraim. So I don't, my answer is I don't know, but it feels like it could be a different Ravina, maybe from an earlier generation. We know there's two Rav Kahanas from Bar Brachas.
Sure. The latter of Kahanas. At least right. Two, and what the Toys says that there were three. But anyway, this is Nishkaf Kimena. Fine. Okay. And we continue on Kitanoi. This halacha about cooking kovet is a big machlokes tanoim, says the Tanakama, Reb Lezer, Oimer HaKovet Oiseres Ve'enen Neeseres Ve'neishe Paletas Ve'enen Balas. The words of Reb Lezer are word for word like the Mishnah we had on Kuf Yud Amid Beis that we quoted before, which was a Mishnah Mesechtes Trumais, and that's how Rav Nachman holds. And Rav Nachman says, my dear friends, you cook a kovet, it can aser others inside the same pot, like another piece of meat, but it itself ain't necessary because it's so busy being pilot, it's not b'ilea. Rav Shmuel ben Eishu ben Rechem Rebbeik Oimer, mituveles oiseres v'ne'eseres, Shaluka oiseres v'ne'eseres. Mituvelis means that you didn't just cook it in water, you put in a lot of tavlin, a lot of spices. Shluka means that you didn't just go and cook it normally, but heavy-duty cooking. Rashi says, harbe mi'oid. In such a case, both in Mituvelis and the Shluka... Everything okay? Yeah, good. So it says, Rashi, if you look at the Rashi, two or three lines below where we are in the Gemara. Mituvelis atavlin merachachin oisa. By putting in so many spices, they cause the kovet and or the meat inside the pot to become very soft. Similarly, shluka harbe miyoid. We also know that that's very soft. For those of you that cook chicken on Erev Shabbos, the Kovet Shabbos, if you cook it instead of frying it or roasting it, you cook it in the soup. If you only cook the soup for an hour, then it's pretty hard, the pieces of chicken. If you cook it for 2 or 3 or 4 hours, you can go and eat virtually entire bone of the pulka as well as the rest of the chicken. I'm sure many of you are aware of that from practical experience. But anyway, so what does it say in the Rashi? Shluka harbe miyoyden eseres. Lefisha acha shenakom repleitasa. Choyzeres ubeilas. After it's finished doing its duty. Your regular cooking is twice an hour or two. And this one, he cooked it 3 or 4 hours. By that time, you wore out the kavet, so to speak. It has already been totally drained from its blood. There's nothing more to drain. At this point, it's no longer peiletes. It's choizeres uboy las. On the surface, we would not have to say that there's a machloikis, because could be that Reb Lezer is talking about just simple cooking, and he's saying, therefore, kavet oiseres vein and aseres, because it's peiletes vein uboy las. Reb Shmuel ben Yishu Berechem Bebroik is talking about mituveles and shluka. So you wouldn't have to say that there's a machlokes. You can go and say Reb Lezer agrees with Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Shmuel agrees with Reb Lezer. The fact that the Gemara says Kitanoi, the Gemara holds that the Tanakama holds that even in a shluka situation, it's oiseres v'eina neseres. Okay, so we have a machlokes about the cooking of the kaved. And now the Gemara continues talking weiter about these inyanim. Rabba Barav Huna, Ikla the Bey, Rabba Barav Nachman. Both of them, their names were Rabba. Rabba Barav Huna was invited to the home of Rabba Barav Nachman. And as we'll see in a moment, it was Shabbos. Eis in the Kameh, they brought on the table Tlas Savi Tachoi. Now, what does that mean? Tlas, of course, is three. Savi means beautiful chalois, or Rashi says, so'in of chalois. So maybe there weren't three chalois, maybe there were 12 chalois, three so'in altogether. And savi techoi means that they were ungeschmiert. They were smeared at the top with shemen and dvash. Very often, perhaps your wives at home when they bake chalois, or if you buy a baked challah from the bakery, you'll see that it shines on top. And the reason is because they usually put on top of it, they smear it with egg whites or some with egg yolks to make it shine. In Yiddish, tzeglanzen. So here too, they smeared on the top of it shemen and dvash, and it really shone there at the table. And Rabbi Barav Huna, who was the guest, was sure that they did it in his honor. And Omalahu, mihavi yadisu dasina. Did you even know that I was going to come for Shabbos? That you went and made such beautiful, shining, brilliant chalas? Amrulay, and they said, really, you should be moichalas Rabbi Rav Huna. It wasn't in your honor. Mi adifis lon mina, are you better than us? Meaning that every Shabbos we make the most delicious and beautiful and shining chalas, the Kovet Shabbos, or the Kovet Oinig Shabbos, if you will. And so therefore, that's why they are shining. Now this part of the story, fascinating, but really is unrelated to us. It's the second part of the story. Ad hachi ashkach ahukavdu dehava ba simpuna deblia dam. After they served the chalas, and the 12 dips, and then the fish, and then the chrein, and the chicken soup, after that they served on the table kaved, liver, but this wasn't your standard normal kaved. It had a simpoina de blia doma, a simpoine. Of course, we've had the term simpoine very often in connection with reya. Here, the simpoine is a simpoine of the kaved, and it means that inside the kaved there are also different compartments, and this particular compartment was full of blood, and they were serving this at the table on Shabbos. And he, the guest, Rabbi Rav Huna, was horrified. Amalehu, amay avdi sahachi. Why are you doing it this way? That it should still be full of the blood? I'm all nervous in eating it. Amrulay, alhechi navid, what should we have done? Amalehu, he said, what you should do is when you are preparing kaved of this nature, if you're, either you should go and roast it, but if you're cooking inside a pot, karu shesiv erev, make sure that you go and cut it. Shesiv erev means vertical and horizontal. V'chituch aletochas, and go and make an incision at the bottom so that the blood will drain out from the bottom and there'll be no blood left in it, so we shouldn't have this bloody mess that you are serving here at the table. Says Yimar Vahani Mili, when are we talking about this? Kavda. We're talking about a kaved. However, tachle, if you're talking about a tchoil, tchoil of course is the spleen, even though that may appear to be reddish, and you think to yourself, oh, maybe it also has a compartment with blood. No. By tchol shimna ba'almahu, whatever runs from it, whatever oozes from the tchol, that's not blood, that's really rather shuman, some schmaltz, that's some fats, which is kosher. And in fact, the Gemara says, ki hodesh mul, avdi le tavshila de tachli biyoima di ovid milza. Yoimed Ovid Milz is an expression which means Hakozes Adam. As you know, in the good old days, to relieve blood pressure, they didn't have blood pressure pills. Instead, to relieve the blood pressure, they always did Hakoza. They did some bloodletting, and you had professional people that did this for a living. So Shmuel, whenever he would have a day of Hakoza where he let out some of his blood, he himself or somebody else, another bloodletter, whatever, he would make sure to eat before or after a tavshil of tchoil, tchoil meaning of spleen, which does not have dam in it, but nevertheless is good. It has a lot of minerals and nutrients to replenish the lost nutrients and minerals from the blood that had been let out by the bloodletter. So, you don't have to, with tchoil, you don't have to worry. In fact, Shmuel ate this on a regular basis whenever he had this bloodletting. Zokti Marietz. Until now, we spoke about the kovet cooking inside a pot. Now we're going to talk about a kovet that is, in fact, roasting in the oven, which is the best way of doing it. You roast the kovet so that all of the blood is drained and leaves. The question, however, is, can you go and take that kovet and put it on the same spit together with basar? And in particular, our Gemara is focusing on spits that were not horizontal, but were vertical. And therefore, one will be above and one will be below. Zoktimar itmar, kav the ilui bisra shari. If you're going to have the kovet on the top of the spit and a piece of basar underneath the spit, so you're thinking to yourself, the basar underneath is going to get soaked with the dam emitted by the kovet on top. Says Imar, it's not a problem, because Dama Mishrik Sharik, the dam will slide down the side of the basar. Instead of the basar absorbing it, it's going to slide down from all sides, not an issue. However, Kachla, we had Kachla, of course, a couple of days ago, you're talking about the udders, where you have the situation of milk inside the udders, and a good way of getting that milk out, as we said, is to go and roast it. So Hitaka roasted it, but here he roasted it on top of the basar, on the same spit. So now you have milk coming out from the kal onto the basar. Ayvai. Then it's awesome. Why my timer? Because cholav sruchi misrach. When it comes to milk, it has much more sticky. Rashi says it's nidbak. It glues, it attaches itself to the basar below. And now the basar below is going to be a basar b'cholav issue. So therefore, by the kovet, it's not a problem. It slips off. By the kal, it is a problem because it attaches to the basar below.
A brief question. When we cook, isn't it a principle that blood that's cooked is a is no longer has Torah's dam?
I hear you loud and clear. Our Gemara has not discussed that issue to date. Maybe we'll still have that about dam mevushel, but we have not come across that concept until this time. So,
because as the blood comes down from the kovet onto the basar below, even if it did stick, once it's emitted by the heat and the gravity pulls it down, doesn't the heat take it out of the isur of dam and it becomes some non-usur substance?
You're doing a great job in restating the question with different words. We have not come across yet any type of dam mevushel or dam tzolui.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll get to it in Mi'atz Hashem. But continuing on now, the Gemara says, the Gemara, Rav Dimi Mine'edor Masni Ipcha. Rav Dimi Mine'edor, all to distinguish between the kovet on top of the basar and the kachal on top of the basar, but he learned pungfaket. Pungfaket means just the opposite. Kach le'ili bisra ishari. When you have kachal on top of the basar, even though milk is coming down, that's mutter, my timer, because cholev shchuta drabonim. The cholev that was inside the kachal until now, that has the status of cholev shchuta. Of course, we don't mean literally that you shechted the cholev. It just means that if cholev came out from the udders of an animal when the animal was still alive, and you squeezed out the milk for either the kids or for lahavdil, for human beings, and that's where we get our milk from in the milk containers. Can you believe that? Really? Yeah, yeah. You squeeze out the kachal when the animal is alive, then of course that's regular milk. However, if the animal has already been geshachted, and now you squeeze out the milk, that is already called cholav shchuta, cholav of an animal which was geshachten, and that is dirabanan. It does not have the shame cholav diraisa, it's only cholav dirabanan. And therefore, if some of that milk spills down on the basar down below, it doesn't bother me, since we're only talking about a drabanan in the first case. On the other hand, kav the ili bisra, when you have the covet on top of the basan, then that's asur. Ah, you said mishrik sharik or mishrik sharik, dam is the araisa. Oh, don't play around with the araises. You gotta be very, very careful. So, I have a machloikis mikotze el akotze. How do I pass it? Dorish mareimar. Hilchasa, ben kav de ben kachle, both kovet and kchal, to say bisra, if they happen to be underneath the basar, ishari. Because then they are not the ones that are transmitting the blood or the milk. They are the ones receiving whatever from the basar on top. And the basar on top, by definition, certainly doesn't have any milk, and presumably doesn't have any blood if it was already malicha, and even if it wasn't a full-fledged malicha, abyssal malicha, so that is all mutter. On the other hand, ilui bisra, if you have the kovet of the chal on top of the basar, which was our case that we were talking about, then the eved in. With the eved, if it happened already, this is good. In other words, you're allowed to eat from that basar underneath. L'chadchil loy, but l'chadchil you shouldn't do it. Why shouldn't you do it l'chadchil? Because we take the chumris of both of them. On the one hand, don't allow the kovet, even though it slips down, but this is an isa d'araisa, rabo yisai d'araisa. L'chadchil loy. With the eved, since it's Mishrik Sarik, we don't have to worry about it. Same thing with the Kchal. L'chadchil, you should be very, very careful, because it's Seruchei Misrach. It's Nidbak. It attaches itself. That's L'chadchil. But the Eved, oh good, you don't have to worry about it. And then Rashi goes one step further. He says, that's Halacha L'maisa based on the Gemara. But Halacha L'maisa today, it's different. Why? Because today we don't use vertical spits. We use horizontal spits. And therefore, sometimes when we adjust the spit, when we are putting on or taking off the kovet or the kchal or the basar, sometimes we pick it up from the right side, sometimes we pick it up from the left side of the spit. And so therefore, temporarily, you could have kovet ilibisra or kchal ilibisra. You see the last Rashi, Hilchasa, four lines on the bottom, ulididon. We, in other words, now Rashi is talking about post-Talmud times. Also the Gamri l'chadchila, totally also. Why? V'shishpudim shalonu einen tluyin el ha-shoichweis. Our spits are not vertical, they are horizontal. So therefore, shoichweis, they settle on the last one on the bottom, probably even hits the ground. Upa'omim, sometimes, shemeirim zonav hashpud, he goes and picks up the zon of the tail end of the shpud. Why? To adjust it. V'nimtza tachtoin elyon. What was until now the tachtoin is now the elyon. As well as upam shemashpiloi v'nimtza chaveroi elyon. Or the other times he takes it from the other side. In other words, from the head side as opposed to the tail side of the spit. Hilkof bein shakovet l'tzad haroish bein shul tzad hazanav. It's awesome. So you want to go and get kosher kovet, roast it on its own. Do not roast it with anything else, either in the top or in the bottom, because you can get into halachic props.
Rashi only mentions the kaved in this time. He doesn't mention tachol at all.
I guess he figured that we could figure that out on our own, that the same thing would apply. I'm sorry, Rav Ashi. Yeah, you have a question?
Yeah, when Rashi says the orientation of the spit, when he's saying the different, when he's talking vertical or horizontal,
yes,
what's he referring to? So we're talking about the horizontal spits that say you go into a store and see the chicken, rotisserie chicken.
Right.
Those are all on, for the most part, horizontal, I guess.
Because they're following the minhag of Rashi, that they go and do it horizontal and not vertical. The only time I see vertical is when you go and pass a shawarma shop.
Right.
And then you see that it's vertical. Anyway, so the point is, since it's horizontal, and you can take off the spit from both sides, right? The spit doesn't remain attached to the rotisserie or to the oven. You can take it out and scrape it and clean it and all the rest. So sometimes you might pick it up from the right and sometimes from the left, depending on where you see that it's roasting too much, right? If you see one side getting black, that sounds like, oh, it's too close to the fire. So then you have to adjust it and turn it around and do the other side, etc. So therefore, you could have, even though you started with the best of intentions with the basar on top, it may turn out that you're going to have the kovet on top, and that is a problem. Rav Ashi iklabei Rami Bar Abba. Rav Ashi came to the home of Rami Bar Abba. Now Rami Bar Abba wasn't just stam individual, it was chamua, that was his shver. So Rav Ashi was visiting the shver Rami Bar Abba. Chazi lebrei to Rami Bar Abba, he saw the son of Rami Bar Abba, which is Rav Ashi's shvugger, his brother-in-law, the koshvid, he was taking a shvid of kavda ilui bisra, and he was roasting kovin on top of the basa. Now remember we said on the Amud Aleph, you're not allowed to do that lechatchila. The diavet, it's okay, but lechatchila don't do that. And he saw he was doing that lechatchila. Omar, so he said about his shvugger, apparently he and his shvugger didn't see eye to eye on everything. And he said, Kama yohir hai mirabanan, look how pompous this rabbi is, my shvugger. Eimid yom rabanan diavet, lechatchila miyamur. Are you allowed to do lechatchila? You're not allowed to go and put the kovid on top. If you did it, it's too late. But lechatchila, how can you do that? Okay, that's the end of that shtickle. And now the Gemara tells us another piece of very important halachic advice when we are roasting something in a rotisserie. And that is, they used to often use a beidugi. What's a beidugi? Rashi explains, a beidugi means that they put a kli underneath the spit that was roasting whatever it was roasting. And then, instead of all of the drippings going into the tanner, into the rotisserie, into the oven, and then you'd have to scrape out the whole oven to get out all of the stuff that was oozing from the roasted meat or kaved or whatever above, it would all fall into that beidugi, that vessel, so that after you finish roasting for the day, the oven was, Baruch Hashem, nice and clean, at least on the floor of the oven, mostly clean, and the beidugi you'd put into the sink and you wash it out thoroughly, etc. Now, why did they use this beidugi? Not only for reasons of cleanliness, but also because if you were taking any type of meat, put aside kovid for a moment, any type of meat, meat typically has some fat either on it or in it. As a result of the roasting, that fat will come down and then you'll have leaner meat. However, what are you going to do with all of that fat? Of course, today, everybody would say, oh, throw the fat out, it has carbs, it has calories, it has cholesterol, and it's going to go and stuff up the arteries and all that. In those days, they didn't have those concerns, and instead, they would collect the shuman, the fats from that kosher meat, in the beidugi. They put it in the refrigerator and they use it as schmaltz. And I remember my grandmother, Leah Shulam, on Pesach, they didn't go and use oil, because you couldn't get oil with a hechsher or hashgucha. They always use schmaltz. And I'm sure in many of your families, you're aware of that too. Gribinus. So, says our Gemara yet, if you're using that just for basar, then there's no problem. But if you're using it also for kaved, then you got a problem. Because when all of the emissions come from the kaved up above, these are emissions of blood. And the blood go into that beidugi. They go into beidugi, it's going to aser all of the fats that you are trying to collect for schmaltz and for your gribbiness. So you're going to have a problem. If you have such a beidugi, such a kli on the bottom of the oven, bisra ilui kavda nami aser. Not only when you have the kaved on top of the basar, you'll have halachic issues, but you'll have an halachic issue even with the basar on top of the kaved. What's the reason why? Because the dam of the kaved will drain into that kli down below, and it'll mix together with fats, and you won't be able to use the schmaltz anymore. Ay, ay, ay. Freitimara, umayshna midama de bisra. Why are you only concerned about dam of the kaved? Every time when we are roasting a piece of basar, unless, of course, you've done a full-fledged malicha beforehand and you've taken out all the blood, if you're now roasting it for the first time and you are relying on the fact that the roasting itself will draw out the blood, you're right, but that blood is now going to accumulate inside the beidugi down below. So every time you have basar which is roasting, you'll never be able to use the fats down below because it's all being mixed together with the dam. Why is this only a problem with a kaved, with a liver? Everything Gemara, dama de bisra shochein, dama de kav de kofi. There is a difference between the texture, or the, what would you call it?
Consistency.
Consistency, no, is in other words, when you want...
Viscosity.
Oh, viscosity. Thank you, brother Barry. Viscosity means the thickness and the density of the blood inside the liquid blood. And that is, when you're talking about basar, then the dam of the basar is shochin. Shochin means that it goes all the way to the bottom of the beidugi, and it lives there, shochin, like a shochin, like a neighbor. It lives there on the bottom. While dam of the kav, this kafi, however, the dam of the kaved floats to the top. So explains Rashi. In the case of the dam of the bisra, when you're finished with all the roasting, and you take your kli full of both the dam on the bottom and the shuman on top, you put it in the refrigerator, you take it out a couple hours later, and the schmaltz on top is nicely congealed and nicely white, and you scoop that up and use it as schmaltz. When you finally get to the bottom of the kli, then you see all that red stuff down below, you leave it there. Don't touch it, don't get close to it, because that's takadam. However, when you're talking about kavein, unfortunately, the dam floats to the top, and that's going to spoil all of your schmaltz, which is now going to have mixture of the dam in it.
Zokimor. It may be the word density be better than viscosity, but...
Okay, I accept that too. Thank you. The density instead of viscosity. Good. Zokimor Abayt, Rav Nachman Mishmuel. Now we leave for a moment the Hilchois dam, and now we're going to talk about a going and cutting with a sakin. And the Gemara starts off. It involves dam as well, but we're not talking about the dam of that you're cooking or that you're roasting, etc. Sakin shishochet bar. You have a sakin that was used for shechita. In other words, a regular sakin, a chalif, did a great shechita and it's givaldik. Don't use that sakin subsequently to go and cut something which is hot. What's the reason why? Because the sakin was boileya, the dam, at the time of the shechita. What dam? Any time that you go in shecht, the base of shechita is very, very warm, very hot, and the blood that bursts out at the time of the shechita, some of it will be nivla into that sakin. Okay, what happens if it's nivla in the sakin? If you're just going to continue shechting other animals, no problem, because it's the same blood from all the animals from the base of shechita in the sakin. The problem, however, is what about if you want to now cut a piece of roast beef, which is nice and warm and nice and hot? Because that is warm, it's going to be boleya, it's going to absorb some of the blood, which is nivla in the sakin, and so therefore don't cut the piece of hot meat because of the fact that you'll have those bleois from the sakin. However, tzoinan, what happens if you use that same sakin to go and cut something which is cold? That already is a machloikis. And what is that? Amri lo bai hadocha, mi amri lo loy bai hadocha. It's certainly not as bad as the case of the reseach, because the reseach, if it's boileya blood, then it's going to be nivla potentially into the entire piece of meat. Here, however, we're talking about a piece of meat which is cold. Even though some of the blood inside of the sakin might be emitted into the meat, but at best, it would only be superficial. So all you have to do is hadocha, just rinse it off, so that any potential bleois are now rinsed off and rinsed away, and you don't have to worry about bleios because it's cold and it's not hot. What happens if you have a special kli that you use for malichas of basar? Of course, most of us don't even know what malichas of basar looks like today, but in previous generations, our mothers, our grandmothers, great-grandmothers all did malicha at home. Today, of course, all the meat is, I wouldn't say all, 99% of all meat is maluach. They go and salt it inside the shlachtos. Okay, well, what happens if I take have a kara, and I was maleach basar, so what happened as a result? That emitted blood into the kara, and now that kara was boileya some of that blood, and after that, if you want to go and put a hot piece of meat on top of that same kara, you're not allowed to, because it's going to be boileya from the blood that was inside the kara. Ushmul etamek. Shmuel goes lishitasa. This was reviewed on Mishmuel. Shmuel's lishitasa. We've had the Shmuel already before. The Mishmuel. Maliach ariyu kreiseach. The kovish ariyu kim avushel. Maliach has the same status like kreiseach. So even though when you started off with the dam, you weren't cooking dam in this kara. You were maliach basar, which emitted dam. Maliach has the same dinner kreiseach. It has that same halachic effect. So it's as if you cooked in that first kara, or you put a hot piece of meat in the kara, or hot dam in the kara, so therefore it was boileah. And the same thing is kovish. Kovish means if you pickle something, and you pickle it for a while, not just for 5 minutes, then harikimavushal, it's like cooking, because it has the same demonstrative effect. Obviously, Ravin is disagreeing with Shmuel, and he's saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, no, you don't have to worry about the Malicha, you don't have to worry about the Kovish. Omer Abayim, ha, the Ravin lesser. We do not agree with what Ravin just quoted in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Why not? The he Pincha. Pincha is the name of a kli, but it's a kli made out of cheres. Uy. The previous kelim that we're talking about, that kara shemolach babasar, presumably was made out of, for instance, metal. So therefore, you can go and wash it and use it and reuse it. But this pincha, which is made out of cheres, once it's boileah, the iser of dam, we know that you can't go and purge it anymore from that dam. And as Barry likes to go and tell us, shvirasan. Zutarasa. The only way that you can go and be matayr a pincha, any kli cheres that has in it b'liyos of iser, is to break it. So we have this kara made out of cheres, to have a beirab ami, to malach be'bisra, and we use it for malichas of basar, and so therefore now we have some of the b'liyos of the dam inside the pincha, the tavrei, and he broke it. Now why did he go and break it? Didn't we just say now, Ravin says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, maliach, the fact that Rab Ami went and broke it, Mechti Rab Ami was a Talmud Rab Yochanan Hava, my time at Tavre, why did he have to break it? After all, you're saying in the name of Rab Yochanan Maliach, Einoi Kirei Seach. That's what Ravin said. And therefore, that's why the Gemara is saying, said Abaya, that Ravin was mistaken in quoting his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, the Maliach, ain't a Kiroseach. Avadi holds Maliach is Kiroseach. We see that from Rabbi. Okay. Now the Gemara tells us the story of Yosef Kahana, Achvad Rav Yehuda, Kamei de Rav Huna. Rav Kahana, the brother of Rav Yehuda, is sitting in front of Rav Huna, the Yosef Kahamar. Ka'ora Shemolach Babasar, Oselecha Boyreseach, like we just said a moment ago, because of the dam. And Tnoin Shechatochi Besakin, Mutter Li Ochle Bekutach. However, if you're talking about tznoin, tznoin is radish. Shechatochei besakin, if you went and shechted it with a sakin. And the sakin that we're talking about over here, says Rashi, is not that just had a belia from the inside, but it also had some shamnunis from the outside. And he is now cutting with this the tznoin. Mutar li'ochel b'keteach b'kutach. You're allowed to go and use it and eat it together. Kutach. Kutach is like a yogurt or some sort of milchige dip that had milchiks in it. So now this is a big, big issue. What's going on over here? After all, we're talking about a tznoin which had the bliois of the sakin, the fleishige sakin, and now you're eating that tznoin with the kutach, which is milchiks. Oi, basa mechalev, milchiks and fleishiks, what's going on? My taima. What's the difference between the kara with the dam and the tznoin that had in it the cuttings from the sakin that you're eating with kutach? Omer Abaya, hai hetera bala v'hai isura bala. Oh, there's a fundamental difference. In the case of the kara shemolach babasar, what was it by Leah? It was by Leah isur. It was by Leah the dam, the blood. So it's by Leah isur. Masha Enke, in the case of the tzanoin, what was it by Leah? It was by Leah from the sakin. Kosher. Yes, the problem was it was fleishiks. Yeah, but it was kosher fleishiks. So then, that's okay, and then you can afterwards eat it together with the kutach. Yeah. Rava was very incensed, and he said, Abaya, how could you say something like that? Amli Rava ki bala hetera mayhava mazel tov. So it was by Leia kosher meat. But nevertheless, soif hayetera dasli de yisurahu, the yisura ka'achal. If he's eating it together with the kutach, ayayay, stachbusim b'chulav. Go and tell me that the basar has the best tashkucha. All the 10 most respected rabbinical authorities throughout the world said that this busar is kushal a mahadrim and a mahadrim. And then they'll tell you that the milk was chul of Yisrael, the best in the world. My friend, that's good if you eat them separately. But if you mix them together, it's a chaser according to everybody. What's going on? Elo Amarava. Hai efshel l'metame, v'hai l'efshel l'metame. The reason why there's a difference, according to Rav Kahana, that he was saying that the difference between the Kara and between the Tznoyim, because in the case of the Kara, you cannot go and taste it. Why can't you go and taste? In other words, if we want to determine whether the Kara had enough blios of dam to go and give tam into the Dover Roseach, there's no way that we can go and test it. Why can't we test it? Because it's, if in fact there is dam inside that Basar Roseach, that I'm eating dam. Oy, 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 Rachman Litzlan. See, there's no way of testing, and that's why Rav Kahana said, Osir, don't even think about it. Mash'enkein legabed itznoin, I have an Eitzah. We can go and, before mixing it with a kutuch, go and serve it to the family, cut up a couple of pieces of radish, and you all eat it. If they say, this tastes like chleshika radishes, then you know you got a problem. But if they say, no, it tastes like every radish, and all radishes taste the same, and it tastes like rat. So that's the reason why, when Rav Kahana said, it's talking about that we first taste tested it. How? By eating it. And we said, I don't feel any time. Oh, you don't feel any time. Of course, you can eat it with kutuch. Omli Rapapa L'Rava. So Rapapa says to Rava, I don't understand your teretz. V'letamek feila arma. You're telling me that in the case of the tznoin, we passed the test by tasting it and you don't feel the fleshiks. You can go and ask the goy, the kfeila arma, to go and taste from that roiseach, which was in the kara, and ask him, does he feel in it any of those blios from before? In other words, does he feel that there's a heavy blood taste or not? So both of them can be tasted. Miloitzanan, haven't we learned in the past, kedera shebishul babasa leyevashul b'cholav, that if you have a kedera that was a fleishik kedera, don't use it for milchiks. What happens if you made a mistake? Then bishal benoisin tam. Then you have to go and taste it. Bishal batruma, if you had a chulin kedera and now you use it by truma by mistake, liyavasha bachulin. I'm sorry. If you have a regular truma pot, liyavasha bachulin, because then you won't be able to eat the chulin except for kahanim. Then bishal, but if you did it benoisin tam, then just taste it and feel whether you feel the truma taste in it or not. V'omrinon. And we said about that, Mishlei Metruma Toyin Lokoyin. You can't give it to Yisrael to taste, but you can give it to a Koyin to taste. Go and taste the chulin that was cooked inside this Truma pot. Do you feel the effect of the Truma from before? And if he says yes, then only Kahanim can eat it. But if he says no, it feels great, then even Yisrael can eat it. Who's going to go and taste it? V'yamalon L'tami Kfeila. Go and give it to a Kfeila Armo. He could taste whether or not you feel the tam of the basar inside the tznoin, inside the kutuch. Rava, when he was distinguishing, and he said, Alibed Rav Kahana. Why did Rav Kahana say that if you have that kara that you use for melicha, for basar, osu lechelba, mash'enkin legabe the tznoin, he said, you can go and taste it, efshel lemitame. So why can't you go and taste the case of the Kara Shemala Babasa, give it to a Kvela Arma? There was no Kvela Arma. We knocked on all of our chefs, all of our Goyish chef neighbors, we knocked on all of their doors. They were all away for vacation. So there's nobody to ask. Oh, so by the Kara, you're stuck. You won't be able to go and eat the Reseh because maybe it has a time of Dam. It's nine. You have no worry because you can go and taste it before you eat it with the kutuch. If it tastes fine and delicious, you don't feel any meat taste in it, go and eat it together with the kutuch. No problem. So, similarly now, and now we're going to get into the famous halacha of nat bar nat. Nat bar nat is nuisen tam bar nuisen tam. In other words, there were 2 degrees of nesinas tam before the mixture. You'll see what I mean momentarily. Itmar. Dogim she'olu bekara, what happens if you have dogim that were cooked in or are sitting in a kara, which is a fleishig kara, and now those dogim were warm, and they were potentially boileya basar from the kara, Rav Omar osur la'ochle mekutuch. Do not eat them with kutuch, meaning with milchiks. Why? Because these fish are now fleishigs. Fleishig a fish, you can't go and eat with milchiks, you have basar b'chalot. No, you are allowed to go and eat it with milchiks. What's the machlekes? Rav, omen, aser, noisentam. The kara gives tam into the dogim. The dogim are now fleshiks. And now you're going to go and eat it with the milchiks. You got a problem. Nois and tam. Shmuel Omer mutter. Nois and tam. Bar nois and tam hu. It's not a first level nois and tam. It's a second level. It's like we talk about cooking. It's not a kli rishon. It's a kli shiny. Why is it not bar nat? So Rashi explains very simply. If these dogim would have been cooked together with actual meat in a pot, obviously you're not going to do that lechatchila, but if you did cook dogim together with meat in a pot, and then you extracted the dogim would be kosher, but they would have in them blios of basar. So that would be one nesinas tam. Okay, as we've learned in the past, tam ki'ikr, either it's deraisa or it's derabanan, but avada, there's a tam, it's meaty. Now, if I were to go mix that with kutuch, I got a problem, because I'm now mixing milchiks with fleishiks, fleishig and dogim. Over here, however, the dogim were never cooked together with meat. It was a kara which was a fleishig kara. It's a fleishig kara that you use, for instance, to cook every Shabbos chicken soup in. So it has bliois of meat in it. And now, instead of using a fish pot to go and cook your fish, you cook the fish inside the fleishig pot. So what happens now? You have nesinas tam, you have some of the tam of the flesh, which is inside the pot, going into the fish. This is already a nat bar nat. Why is it nat bar nat? Because you didn't cook it with meat. You cooked it in a pot. The pot itself is not meat. The pot itself got a nesinas tam from the basar. Ah, that's why it's called a fleshy pot. So that's one nesinas tam. What makes the dogim now into fleshiks? It's because now the cooking of the dogim inside this fleshig pot, you're saying that gives a tam further into the dogim. So I'm transferring nesinas tam from fleshiks into the pot, then I'm transferring that same nesinas tam from the pot into the fish. Okay, says the Gemara, that's a nesinas tam bar nesinas tam, it's a second degree nesinas tam, not a first degree, and therefore you're allowed to go and eat it with kutuch according to Shmuel. So tomorrow, even Rav that said that it's awesome, but Rav la befeish mar, he didn't say befeish. And Mikol itmar, there was a story. What was the story? The Rav ikla lebei Rav simi bar chia bar berei. We find this from time to time. The Gemara that Rav talks about, he said that shimiat, and the Rashi and the Mefarshim usually say that Rav Simi was his einikel, and he also sometimes refers to him as having the long teeth. But that's not for our Gemara now.
That's Shmuel.
Okay, so that's Shmuel. So Rav came. Good. Oh, I'm sorry. I withdraw it. However, we have Rav and Rav Shimi is good. That was his Zainikul. Yeah, it's good.
I'm not disputing that at all.
No. Okay. Baruch Hashem. Thank you. So Rav Iklebei Rav Shimi Bar Chia Bar Berei. That was his Zainikul. And Chosh Ve'enav. And Rav had some ailment in his eyes. And he says, I need a medication. So of the late Shaifa Bitsa'a. So is a ka'ara in Aramaic, and shaifa means they put together some sort of mixture. Shaifa means they rubbed it and crushed it and put together a medication inside this tzah. And then they applied it to the eyes, and apparently, Baruch Hashem, he had a refuah shleima as a result. Now, Basar Hachi, sometime subsequently, twice a week later, maybe a month later, Romulei Bishula Begava, they went and now cooked something in that same tzah that we were talking about a moment ago. And toim le tam de shaifa, after that they ate, and everybody said, nom, 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 nom. You know, it tastes like that medication that Rav used in his eyes a week ago. And they still felt it. Omar, so now Rav said, yof, taima kuli, hi. Wow, I can't believe it. We still feel the tam so strongly a week later in this pot from the medication from a week ago. And so therefore, the Olam assumed by Rav making this strong statement, Yoav Taimek Kuli Hai, that if you were talking about a similar situation of dogim she'olu bakara, the dogim that were cooked in a kara of fleishiks, they would still retain that, oh wow, that tam of the fleishiks, and therefore that's why you're not bekutuch, because even though it's technically not parnat, but it's a strong tam, I still feel it a week later. That's the Mechlole Itmar. So tomorrow v'lohi, but the truth of the matter is, Rav did not hold that it's osir. Rav could hold like Shmuel that nat bar nat is mutter. Shani hosam did nafish merora tvei. This medication was a very, very bitter medication. Obviously, it was very strong, because it had to go and correct the problem with the eyesight of Rav, and therefore, since it was so strong, that's why you felt it a week later. But your normal, regular piece of meat doesn't have such a strong effect, and so therefore, Rav could agree to Shmuel that not bar not is mutter, and you could eat it together with the milk. Reb Loza v'koim kamei demar Shmuel. Reb Loza was koim kamei. Rashi says koim kamei means he was his shamus. He was his waiter at the meal that Shmuel was serving. Aisel kamei, and they brought onto the table dogim she'olu bekara, fish that were cooked in a kara of meat. V'ka'ochel bekutach, and Shmuel was eating it with kutach, and Shmuel the shitasai, that Shmuel said mutter li ochlan bekutach, and he demonstrated lemaisa that you're allowed to go and eat nat bar nat with kutach. Now Shmuel offered to Reb Lozer that he should also take a portion of this fleishige fish together with the kutach. Amalei, and he apparently and he Reb Lozer refused to eat it because he considered himself to be a Talmud of Rav, and according to Rav, you're not allowed to eat it. Also liochle bekutach. So Amalei, so Shmuel now said to him, LeRabach yehivalei viochal. I once gave it to Rav. Rav was a guest here in my home, and I once offered him this dog of Shalom Bakara together with the kutuch, and he ate. So apparently, what Shmuel is suggesting is he changed his mind. The Atli Achlis, and you want to be frumer than your Rebbe Rav, and you don't want to eat. Rebbe Lozer was not convinced that Shmuel was telling him the truth, and therefore, Osalakami the Rav, he went in front of Rav, and he said, Rebbe, Omalei, Hoder Be Mar Mishmate, is it true that you changed your mind? And you're no longer asr, you say you're allowed to eat the dog and sha'olah bakara together with a kutach. Amalei, so Rav said, no, I am still strong, and I hold that you're not allowed to eat it together. And then he said, chasle lezare, chasle, like we would say, chas v'sholem, the zare, that the progeny, the children of Abba Bar Abba. Abba Bar Abba was the name of Shmuel's father. We often call him Avu de Shmuel, but his real name was Abba Bar Abba. And Rashi says, Chosid Godol Hoya. He was a very, very, very righteous man. And so therefore, Chas Hashem, that his child, Shmuel, to Lisli Midi, to Loi Svirali, that he should go and serve something to me that I don't hold of. Meaning, says Rashi, V'loi Hoyu Dvorim Mi'oilem, Sinisht Emes, Teganza Mas, Sinisht Emes, that I never ate the dogim, which were fleishik, together with the kutach. Why did Shmuel say otherwise? In the Mepharshim, Muchenzach. Muchenzach means they try to figure out how Shmuel was able to go and say to Reb Elazar that I once served Rav. Rav said it's never, never happened, never will happen. Shmuel and I are on a very friendly basis, and Shmuel is a child of the great tzaddik, the great chassid, Avu de Shmuel. He would never have given something to me that he knows that I disapprove of. Now the Gemara tells us a story. Rav Huna Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Havi Yasvi Chad Bahai Gisa Dememra, the Surah of Chad Bahai Gisa Dememra. There was a river that was there in Surah, and the two were sitting on the riverside, like on a park bench, and they were eating. Rav Huna was on one side, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi was on the other side. Now, even though they were both on two different sides of the river, apparently they were close enough that you can go and see what the other one was doing on the other side of the river. So the Gemara says, what happened? Lemar aisle dogim sha'olu bekara, v'yochol bekutach. One of them ate these fleishig fish together with kutach, like Shmuel said. And lemar aisle te'enim v'anovim b'toich ha'su'udah. And the other one received in the middle of the meal te'enim figs and grapes, in the middle of the su'udah v'ocha v'le borach. And he did not make a bracha lefonea ule acharea. He just ate them. Of course, they were in the middle of the su'udah. He didn't make a bracha. So one screams out from one side of the river to the other side, Yasma. Yasma, of course, literally means Yosoim, but here it doesn't mean Yosoim that you have no parents. It means that you're not using your Seichel. It's as if he's saying that not only are you empty in terms of not having parents, but your head is empty. If you look at the last Rashi all the way in the bottom, Yasma Bloidas. You're not thinking, what Ovad Rabba Chochi, would your Rebbe do that? In other words, eat the fleishige fish together with kutach. Umar omle lechavrei, and the other one responded, and yasma oved rabbe chochi, would your Rebbe go and allow for eating dogim vanovim in the middle of the seuda without making a bracha? So what did they answer? Samar Omer Lechavrei, and okay, Shmuel is verily. Shmuel. What does Shmuel hold? That if you have Dogish Olu Bekari, you're allowed to eat a Kuntuch. And that's what I did, so don't scream at me. I'm not a Yosem. I look like, I do like my Rebbe, like Shmuel. Umar Omer Lechavrei, and okay, Reb Chiya is verily. I do like my Rebbe, Reb Chiya. Who's Reb Chiya? The Tani Reb Chiya. Pass by Teres, call me to Machol. The Yayim Poyter, call me to Mashkins. Anything and everything inside the Suda, it's all Pater, Pater, Pater. The only time that you have to think about making a bracha on Peiris is at the end of the Suda, where you're eating it as a kompot. Eating as a kompot, that's a different story, because the Gemara says elsewhere that only Dvarim Haboim Machmasa Suda is Pater based on the bracha on the Hamoitzi, but Dvarim Haboim Le'achar Suda, you're all finished with all your 8 courses, and now they're finally giving a little bit of dessert to kind of wash everything down. That you have to go make a separate bracha. That's a different story. But not in the middle of the Suda. Okay, so each one for enfit, the way he holds. What's the halacha? Maisa, dogim, sha'olu, bekara, mutter, li, oichel, bekutuch, yelada, eat a bekutuch, like Shmuel said. Why? Because it's not by not, it's mutter. Tsunoin, shechotach, besakin, shechotach, babasar, if you have a radish that was cut with a sakin, a knife, shechotach babasa that was used for cutting meat, also liyachal b'kutach, you're not allowed to go and eat with the milchis. Now what's the difference? Manishtan says, you know, v'hani milit tznoin, the agav churfei bala. When you're talking about tznoin, since a radish, as you know, is generally more sharp than other parts of your vegetable salad, so then it's boileya more intensely than the case of the dogim that were olu bakar. So even though you could argue that the tzinoin shechotach b'sakin, the sakin itself is not a piece of meat. The sakin you used to cut a piece of meat. So there's blias in it. Okay, and now those blias, you're not eating directly from the sakin. Now that sakin you're using to go and cut the tzinoin, so it should also be a not bar not situation. So why are you saying that this is osali oichlai? Says Imar, this is already different. Because you're talking about the case of the tzinoin, and the tzinoin happens to be much more sharp than your kutach, and so therefore, as well as the dogim, as well as the fish are kind of just middle of the road in terms of their sharpness of taste. Mashenkin,
they're parv, as it were.
Parv, oh, very good.
They're
exactly parv, a fish in a fleshing pot. Very good. Rashi adds to this even more than that. Rashi says that in case of the sakin, sometimes when you're cutting a piece of meat, shamnunis korish olav. I'm looking at the Rashi about fifth line into the Rashi over here. Stam kara mekanchen oisa mishuman hakorish olav mishum mius. Normally, if you're talking about a pot or a pan or a dish, you wash it thoroughly. You don't want after that to put on the table and people say, "Hey, this is still fatty." It'll be mius for the guests and for the balabus and for the person who's washing the dishes. Avasakin pamisham shunus korish olav ein a nicker. Sometimes the sakin, if it's cutting a piece of meat, after that there is some fat which is still residue on the knife, and you don't even notice it. This is not a noisen tam by noisen tam. This is noisen tam and mamish from the shamnunis alein. The shamnunis alein, you're using this knife with the shamnunis to cut that piece of tznoin. So that's another problem. Like we just said a moment ago. But there's a third reason too. It's also palat sakina or balat tznoin. When you're using a knife, you don't use a knife like you use a spoon, for instance. A knife you have to put pressure on to go and cut something, unless it happens to be a chalif, where it cuts all on its own without any pressure. But normally, any knife you have to put a little pressure for purposes of cutting. Ah, so since you're putting the pressure on, so even the bliois, which are inside the sakin, become pilot. They leave and they're emitted by the sakin. So you have three strong reasons why tznoin is different than the case of the fish. Number one, because it's much sharper. Number two, because on the knife you might have shamnunis. And number three, because you're using pressure and that pressure might cause any bliois to come out. But continues the Gemara. Another couple of lines. Aval kishus. Kishus is usually from the gourd family. That is not as strong, not as charif as the tznoin. Gorer lebei paske v'ochel. What you can do is, where you cut that kishus with the knife, just kratz off. The word gorer means to scrape off whatever shamnunis or whatever blias might have come into the kishus, just scrape it off. Like we had in the Gemara before, kidei klipa. You remove the kind of the outside shell, the outside peel, and v'ochel, then you can eat it. Kilchi the lifta. Kilchi are, says Rashi, are the stalks, kelach, of lefes. Lefes, I believe, is leek, if I'm not mistaken. That those, the stalks of leaf, of leek, shari. It's turnip, lefes is turnip. Okay. Okay, so I'm sorry. It's turnip. Shkoyach, thank you for telling us. So it has it. It's like turnip, and most turnips that I eat are fairly, they have a very strong pungent taste. And Rashi says that they are considered to be sweet. And since they're sweet, shari, it's mutter. You don't have to worry about infecting the kalchi lifta with this fleshiga knife. The silka, if it's silka, silka is beets, asiri, then it's saka osir. The pasach buhu, the lifta, if you first cut the lefes with this knife, and subsequently you cut the selek, the beets with a knife, it's shaper dummy, because by cutting the lefes, you in a sense were, did hagala, you kashered it by cutting first the lefes, that's taken away the blios potentially, and therefore when you eat the selek now, it's shaper dummy, it's kusha v'yusha, no problem. Stop over here, Rabbi Sai.
We said that when you cut the lefes, it's still mutter, so you have something that can cause a problem, and now you're cutting lefes with it, and subsequently it's mutter, it's you can cut the beets with it.
Yeah, we said kilchi lifta is mutter, shari. So anything that went into lefes is mutter. So there's nothing left, so to speak, inside the sakin. So now you can cut the selek.
So can you eat the lefes now with milchiks? Because the lefes now, if it absorbed any iser, any fleshiks from the sakin, it should be usher to eat with kutach.
Rashi says that the lefes mevatel tam min hasakin. The lefes being so sweet, it outdoes the any type of blias that it might have gotten from the sakin. Okay?
Okay. By the way, you have the word simpon. I think you've mentioned it many times. That's the expression why an arusa can't eat truma, because she might give it to her brothers. A much of a simpon. Simpon has the quality of a flaw or some objection.
Aha. Okay, very good. Shkoyach.
It's the same word, yeah?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a great day. Continue tomorrow. Be well, everybody. And the Rafi Shleima to Brother Shai.